Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
This is all we care about. We don't want to emphasize what I think. That's why I will not stand on a denominational handle. We want people to just simply see, regardless of what your background may be, what counts for eternity is, as we were just talking on the way up, what does the book say? Because that is paramount. We're not going to be judged by how faithful we are to a particular group or a particular person, but how have we responded to the Word of God. And so for those of you, again, out in television, we just want to thank you for your letters, your prayers, your financial help. It has just been such a blessing to Iris and I and the rest of the family as we labor together. All right, now this is a Bible study, and we go verse by verse in case you happen to be a new listener. And we've started back in Genesis. We've come all the way up through the Scriptures, pretty much chapter and verse. And now we're in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Now, I've been emphasizing ever since we came into the little letters of James and Peter and John that if you watch the language, don't go by what I or any other preacher or any Bible teacher says, just watch the language of what your Bible says, that there's nothing in here that is pertinent to the body of Christ, to the age of grace. This is all written to Jews. Now, granted, there are a lot of things in here that are still appropriate for us, and we can make application, we can feed on it. But we always all have to also be aware that these things are not totally church-oriented or grace-oriented. And I'll show you here, if not in this first half hour, we're going to see it in the second one for sure, how there is absolutely nothing of Paul's gospel that you can use here for salvation. It's an alarming fact, and yet most people are not aware of it. All right, so we'll start right out with verse 1. Beloved, and John, of course, is writing to Jewish believers. He calls them my dear children over and over. And so he said, Beloved, believe not every spirit. My, what a warning for today. Believe not every spirit, but test or try the spirits, whether they are of God. Is it truly the Holy Spirit who is directing what someone is saying? Or is it some other spirit? Now, you've got to realize the world has been pummeled with false teaching ever since Paul was beginning his ministry. Even before he passed off the scene, he wrote to Timothy, what? All they in Asia have turned against me. Why? Because they were rejecting the truth of the apostles' doctrines. And so it's been with us now for 1900 and some years, and it's compounding, especially in this day of mass communication. My, when people write and tell me what they've picked up on the internet or what they've picked up off of television, it is utterly frightening. And the only way you can determine if it's truth is line it up with the book. And if it doesn't line up with the book, shut them off. I would tell them to do the same thing to me. If they can see that I am teaching something that is not scriptural, hey, turn me off. I'm not worth your time. And so that's why I try to be so careful to never say anything that I cannot back up with the Scripture. All right, so he says, test the spirits, because so many false prophets, or as we saw earlier in 2 Peter, false teachers, have gone out into the world. All right, now let's come back, honey, to Matthew 24, and in the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is so plain of what the world is coming faster and faster to all the time. Now, we're not here yet. Matthew 24 is tribulation ground. We're going to jump in right at verse 1, hon. Matthew 24, we'll just jump in at verse 1. And, of course, Jesus is addressing the 12, as so obvious in verse 1. But what I want you to see is the warning. And it's just as appropriate for us today as it was when Jesus spoke it. All right, Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Now, remember, the temple is still operating. The Jews are still connected to temple worship, even those who have been followers now of Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom. They're still part and parcel of the temple operation. And his disciples, the 12, they came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And of course, he was making a reference to 70 A.D., another 40 years in the future, when the Romans would do just exactly that. Now, verse 3. They leave the temple complex, and they've crossed the valley of Kidron up the Mount of Olives. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. The 12 again. No press of the crowd, just the 12. And they said, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" That is the fulfillment of all these things that he's been talking about, and the bringing in of his earthly kingdom. There's not a hint yet that it's going to be totally interrupted. So he says, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming?" Now, they had an idea that there would be a coming of sort to set up the kingdom. Now, not that they were aware that he was going to die and leave and then come back, but they still knew that there was something that had to transpire that would bring about his setting up of this earthly kingdom, because everything has been pointed since Genesis chapter 12 in that direction. All right, so when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And the end of the age, that is, this age of the curse, is the best way I can put it. Now, verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said, Take heed that no man," underline that next word, "that no man does what? Deceives you." Deception. See, that's the devil's bag. Oh, how he loves to deceive. And you know the master plan for deception? Give people about 80% of truth and then slip in 20% of abject error, and it'll win every time. And this is what we're seeing. It is so hard to discern how much is truth and how much is in error. And again, only recourse is to know the book. You know, I gave the illustration years ago, and I hope it's still appropriate, that when folks are hired by the Treasury Department to work specifically on counterfeit money, for the first 6 months of their employment, they do nothing but study legitimate American bills. That's all they do, so that they just see it over and over. Well, what's the purpose? Well, if you see something that's true and it's just so imprinted on your mind, the minute you see the least bit of a change in that, the bells ring. It's a counterfeit. Well, this is what we have to do with the book. We've got to be so ingrained in the truth that when you hear a bunch of this garbage, you can immediately say, "Hey, that's not true." In fact, I had a fellow just call Monday morning. And I'm not going to point my finger at the professional clergy just for the sake of pointing the finger, but it gets alarming when someone calls of what their preacher had been ranting and raving for 30 minutes from the pulpit, and it is all contrary to the book. And this guy caught it. And he's on the way out. He says, "I told my preacher, pastor," he said, "you are totally wrong. You are not according to the scripture." Well, you have to do this because too many of these people have just got the idea as long as the words come, they can spit them out with no reference to the Word of God. Well, that's satanic, powered, false teaching. I don't care who's doing it. All right, now let's show you how Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians. And again, I may come back to this before the afternoon is over because it is so appropriate for the day in which we live. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. My, what a warning. And it all fits. Jesus said, "Don't be deceived, because there's going to be many false teachers." John says, "Test the Spirit, so that you know that you're not listening to a false or a counterfeit spirit." Now, here's how Paul puts it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. "For such are false apostles." Yeah, there are even people today who claim to be apostles. Well, I don't think it's appropriate because I don't think we have apostles today. All right, so for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Same word that Jesus used in Matthew 24. Don't be deceived. These are the deceivers. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel. Don't be alarmed or don't be surprised. No marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, those who are under his control, so it's no great thing if his ministers also are transformed by satanic power, now remember, and they're transformed as the ministers of righteousness. I'll analyze that a minute. What's he telling us? What are these false teachers going to do? Oh, they're going to talk about Jesus. They're going to talk about the cross. They may even talk about the resurrection. But they are false deceivers using just enough of the truth to get your attention, and then they're going to slip you the poison. That's the typical format. And Paul is warning us. Now, how are you going to know? Do they line up with the Scripture from front to back? Not just for 80% of the time. Do they line up with Scripture constantly? Are they on track? Or are they throwing in stuff that is extra-biblical? Or as one fellow put it, and I kind of like that, he said there are a lot of things that are biblical. They're scriptural, but they're not dispensational. What does that mean? Well, you've got a lot of things that were written to the nation of Israel under the law. They're scripture. They're biblical, but they're not for us. So it's not dispensational. Now, the one that I always like to use, and I think I'm going to take time to do it. Come back with me to Leviticus. This is just a good example of how something is biblical. It's scriptural because it's in our Bible, but it's not dispensational. It's not for this dispensation of grace. And that would be Leviticus, I think it's chapter 5. Leviticus chapter 5. And let's just drop down to verse 2. Leviticus 5, verse 2. Now, I trust you all know that Leviticus is a part of the what? Well, the law. Leviticus is part of the first five books of Moses. And Leviticus chapter 5, verse 2 says, if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass, that is, a dead animal, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, if it be hidden from him, he shall be unclean and guilty because he has touched something that is unclean. All right, now just for sake of time, come on down to verse 5. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, including touching something dead. Now, if he be guilty in one of these things, he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing, and as he confesses that he sinned, this is what he has to do. Now, this is biblical. This is what the Bible says. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats for sin offering, and the priest, that is of Israel, the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. Now, goodness sense, that's biblical. It's scripture. But are you going to do that today? Well, of course not. That's not for us. It's not in our dispensation. This was for Israel under the law. All right, now this is what we have to understand, that so much of what we're hearing preached today may be biblical, but it's not for us. And that makes all the difference in the world. God doesn't expect you to keep something that he has not said to us. And that's why I'm always emphasizing, of course, Paul's apostleship, that he is the one that has given us all of the information we need for salvation, for the Christian walk, and for the hope of our end on earth. It's all in Paul's epistles. All the rest of Scripture is profitable if you use it in the right way. But you can't just open a verse of Scripture and say, well, that's what the Bible says. That's what I'm doing. Hey, you're getting trouble real fast because it doesn't work that way. But when we come back to what the Apostle Paul teaches and we lean on that, rest on it, then we're on solid ground. All right, back to 2 Corinthians for just a moment then, so that you see how the Apostle is writing to his Gentile believers. Back to 2 Corinthians, or was it chapter 10? Not quite ready to leave that. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 14 is the key. The God of this world, as Paul calls him in chapter 4 in this little book, the God of this world is an expert at confusing the issues. He's expert at using the Word of God to send people off in the wrong direction. I think I used the example in maybe the last taping in one of our last programs. If you know anything about target shooting, you know there's a bullseye and then the outer rings. Well, you really don't count unless you can hit the bullseye. Well, it's the same way with God. God is particular. God is exclusivist. And we're going to be seeing that before the afternoon is over. And God will not allow you to shoot for the outer ring of the target. You're going to miss the mark. God expects us to hit bullseye. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have the truth. And we have to make sure that we're right on, or we're going to miss it. All right, so come back here again. Satan is a master at getting people to miss the bullseye. That's why I say he can bring in 80% of truth. It can sound so good. But it's that other 15-20% of error that are going to lead people to their eternal doom. And nothing pleases Satan better. All right, so read it again. It's no marvel. Don't be amazed. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's why he can get their attention. Sounds so good. But it's deception. All right? Therefore, verse 15, it is no great thing if his ministers, those people under his control, and their legion, he's got far more in his employ than the Holy Spirit does. That's always been the case. And so his ministers also can be transformed as ministers of what? Righteousness. Boy, that word just throws a curve at us. That they can actually be promoting good things. I can remember years ago, I was teaching a college and high school class up in Iowa, long before we moved to Oklahoma. And I'll never forget this one particular Saturday night. We had about 50 of those kids sitting on the floor out in front of me. And I was bringing home this very thing, that Satan and his emissaries can promote a lot of good things. See, the average person's got the idea that all Satan promotes is wickedness and sin and skid row and the drunks and all. Satan will promote the most beautiful things on earth if it will get people's attention to come his way instead of God's way. And always remember, all the great corporations of the world will funnel millions upon millions into so-called good things. Beautiful buildings, libraries, parks, zoos, you name it. But what, does it do anything spiritually for people? No. But it just simply gets their attention, the glamour of this world, and nothing Satan likes better. Now, there's nothing wrong with a beautiful park, for goodness sakes. There's nothing wrong with a nice library. But you see, when all that is used to keep people's attention from the truth of the things of God, then the devil's the winner. Now, you may not believe that, but that's the real world. That's where it really is. All right, and so they use good things. Things that you cannot point from Scripture and call them wicked. But the end result, Satan's the winner. He's causing us to miss the bullseye. Well, now, we've got the half hour about gone, and I haven't even touched 1 John, have I? Okay, back to 1 John, chapter 4. Verse 1 again. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Oh, just because something sounds good. Just because somebody is gifted with words, don't you buy it. Line him up with the book, see? And test the spirits, whether they're of God. Because even back here already, as John is writing to these little synagogues of Jews, I think primarily back there in Western Turkey, that's where I picture them whenever I think of it. And so to these little congregations of Jews, he says, many false prophets are gone out. Now verse 2. We'll make a little headway. Hereby, you know the Spirit of God. And there's only one Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Now, remember I mentioned in one of the programs that I think John is the only writer of Scripture that uses that term. I'm not aware of anyone else. But he speaks of the Antichrist, plural. And then back here in chapter 2, I think, in 1 John, he speaks of the singular Antichrist, which is not someone who is an opposition to Christ. But you remember what the word I was using several weeks back? What is the true Antichrist? He's a counterfeit. He's a counterfeit. And that's why they can do such damage. The world out there gets taken in thinking that they're the real thing. And they're not. They're counterfeit. They're Antichrist. See? All right. Reading verse 3 again. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And not only that, but what's the next part of the verse? And already is in the world. Now that reminds me, of course, of 2 Thessalonians. Come back, I think we've got time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul, as I've always made mention, is for just a few verses lining up with the Old Testament prophecies concerning this man of sin, the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and come down to verse 7, hon. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. And Paul says almost the same thing that John does. You got it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery, that is the secret, the things that aren't well understood, the mystery of iniquity doth, what's the next word? Already. It was already out there doing its work, even in Paul's day. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. And it was doing its job. And it has never stopped. And consequently, the jillions and jillions of people have been misled, and they've missed heaven's glory because of a deception, see? All right, now our time is just about gone. Come back once again to 1 John. And I had to read both of these verses because they're tied together. In verse 2, he's speaking of the positive side. Those who have recognized that Jesus is the Christ, they are, of course, being influenced by the true Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will make it manifest that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. Now, in verse 3, you see the negative. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. All right, now you have to realize that, especially after, you might say, after Pentecost, after Christ has gone back to glory, whether it's the Jewish congregation there in Jerusalem or whether it's a few years later, Paul starting this congregation amongst the Gentiles, false teachers are coming in from every direction. And their whole job is to confuse the issues. Not with blatant opposition necessarily, but underhandedly deceiving the people. And that's the way Satan likes to work. And so you have instances of that throughout Paul's letters, and Peter had to confront some of the false teachers of his day. And so the whole criteria now, according to this portion of Scripture, is we have to determine what spirit are we listening to. Are we listening to the Holy Spirit, or are we listening to one of Satan's spirits? And how are you going to know the difference? Well, it's getting harder and harder. I know it is. With this wealth of information that is just flooding the planet over the internet and radio and television and the bookstores. My, I think they're getting about as bad as anything are these bookstores. And it's just simply overwhelming people with a lot of false information. But it sounds good. My, even some of the stuff people send me, they want me to look at it. And up front, sounds pretty good. But as soon as you get into about chapter 2 or chapter 3, here comes all the garbage, see? Well, that's the devil's way of doing it. And so the only admonition I can give to my listeners, all of you out on television, is you get skilled in the Scriptures. So that when you see something that is far afield from what Paul is teaching, hey, you leave it alone. You can't change it. We can't turn this world inside out. The day is too far gone. But we can look out for ourselves and for our loved ones. Hey, be careful. That's not truth. My phone, just every day, people are calling. And I have to tell them, run from it. Don't go back to that place. They'll just hook you and draw you in deeper and deeper. And the day will come, you're not going to be able to get out of it. I mean, the cults are masters at brainwashing. We've known that over the years. And once they get brainwashed, it's almost, not totally, but it's almost impossible to bring them out of it. So what's the best remedy? Don't get hooked in the first place. Just simply search the Scriptures when you hear something and see if it lines up.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kinta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kinta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kinta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.